Whose fault do you think it was that Jesus was left behind? Well, it had to be Joseph, right? They had to be looking at him. I thought he was with you. No, I thought he's with you. Well, you're his mother. Well, you're his father. But I'm the Immaculate Conception conceived without sin. You know, one thing that we learn from that gospel today is that the family is the place where people are prepared for mission. I'm not sure even Mary and Joseph understood the depth of that in that encounter in the gospel today. As a matter of fact, the scripture said they didn't totally understand what he was saying. But essentially, at the age of 12, that's when Jesus stepped into his preparation for his ministry that wouldn't take place for another, his public ministry, almost another 20 years before he'd begin it. But he started asking questions and answering and speaking to the religious teachers there in the temple. And so it began. We see in the Holy Family a template, a blueprint. Some might say an ideal, but let's not make it so lofty as though it's unobtainable. But really, that blueprint for what family life can be. And I put to you today that when you listen to the words of St. Paul in that second reading, it wasn't that he was a misogynist or anti-woman, but rather what Paul gives us is a reflection of relationship that is not unlike the relationship that exists within the Trinity. One that is rooted in harmony, love, relationship, and engagement. Now, if you'll forgive me a little bit today, it's going to sound a little bit like Church Father's Day, because I'd like to focus probably a little bit more on the male component of the Holy Family today. But it's not that that's going to be just significant for the men among us. Let's look at what St. Paul says in terms of his idea of what family looks like. We have the reading from Colossians. There's also one very much like it in Ephesians. I know it can be a little bit off-putting when we hear those words, wives, be subordinate to your husband. But I guess it depends who's hearing it. Because I've seen on different occasions when that reading's proclaimed at Mass, you hear, wives, be subordinate to your husbands, and you see the husbands with the elbow to their wives. Sometimes you get a little bit offended, like, what do you mean subordinate? Well, read the whole thing. And in Ephesians, look at how Paul defines those words. There's a mutuality in terms of responsibility here. When he speaks of wives, husbands, parents, children, it's all about being there, laying one's lives, one's preferences down for the other. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. And in Ephesians, love your wives as Christ loved the church, giving over one's life for. Children, obey your parents, but fathers, don't provoke your children. In other words, it's this whole imprint, this blueprint for peace and harmony within the family. But the secret really is in that paragraph before, about watching out for each other, forgiving one another, seeking forgiveness from one another. And so often I think we, when we look at the family life today, the word that we tend to associate it with, probably less, a lot less often than holy, is what? Dysfunctional. Families don't function. Certainly not the way that the pages of Scripture tell us to. Now, let's be clear, that's probably all families on any given day. But I fear that we as a culture have given up and taken the notion of a dysfunctional family as being normative, the new norm. We've taken the idea of fathers being absentee parents as being a new norm. Dads, Men, the scripture today, I think, is a clarion call for fathers to be engaged in the life of their children. To hear these words of not settling for being just provider, but being one who's engaged in the life of one's children. That's what we see with St. Paul there. There was a recent survey that came out, and the statistic is sobering, that 94% of the bonding that takes place between a father and a child takes place before the age of 12. 94%. Now, that's not to say, and I don't want to put like everything into one statistic, but that should be enough to say that we can't just say, I'll get to it someday when I have more time or when my son or my daughter is older. When you talk about 6% comes after that, that's trying to make up for a lot of lost time, isn't it? You see, when we look at marriage and family life, we can't just look and say, what's the new norm? That's not to throw out darts at families that don't meet the stereotypical, which I don't think exists as often anymore, of the nuclear family of mom, dad, and children. Certainly that's not always the case. I myself come from a family where my parents separated when I was 9, were divorced when I was at age 12. I would never wish that or recommend that for anyone. Does that mean it could never be justified? Certainly it can. But our marriages, our families, are worth fighting for. Pope Paul VI, St. Paul VI now. 1968, a year when the world was on fire. Some would say the man was insane when he issued his encyclical Humanae Vitae on human life. Many people look at that and say, oh, that's the birth control encyclical. And in many ways, people dismissed him after that because everyone was looking at this as a moment when a church teaching was going to be turned upside down. I'd put to you today, if you read that, you're going to find a richness of teaching that's not just about contraception. He talks about family life, and he speaks of what a contraceptive mentality could bring to society. In his day, he said, look at the arguments that are being used to push this, which he rejected. He said, people are saying, if we go this way, marriage will be stronger because there won't be unwanted children. Families won't be larger than people plan them to be. And so divorces will not be as prominent. Check your statistics. Much higher today than they were before. He said, oh, there'll be fidelity within marriage. It'll be stronger. Husbands and wives will be committed to each other more strongly, and there'll be less cases of adultery. Check your statistics. It's gone up. Well, abortion won't take place because unwanted pregnancies won't happen. How did that pan out? Paul VI was a prophet who was really swimming upstream. Because if everything that had been predicted from the side of culture and society had taken place by now, we should be living in the parousia, shouldn't we? Families should be stronger. And yet they're not. I think, as a matter of fact, if the devil wants to strike at tearing us apart, he strikes at the family. And if he wants to strike at the family, where does he strike? He strikes at the father. We've seen it in families. We've seen it in the church. When priests take on an identity that is less identified with spiritual fatherhood and more with bachelorhood, there's a problem. In families where we can accept that a father is only a provider, then what more needs to be there than child support? Because that's what often happens when families are separated. Dad writes the check. Well, one can still be a deadbeat dad and still pay child support if you're not engaged in the life of your children. Sometimes families get hung up on the idea, well, we need to be there for our kids and take care of our kids. Not untrue. But sometimes husbands and wives forget that they're still husbands and wives once they become parents. As though parenthood is the higher calling. It's not the primary calling. The spousal relationship is primary. I have had adult children come to me and tell me how wonderful a mother or father they had, or both. How they gave everything for their children, but then ultimately their marriages didn't work out. I'm still waiting for the day when someone comes to me and says, you know, we are so messed up. Our parents neglected us because they spent too much time with each other and neglected us. No, I've seen marriages sacrificed on the altar of parenthood. I've never seen parenthood sacrificed on the altar of marriage. You see, moms and dads need to be the witness of what it means to be a strong, holy man, a strong, holy woman for their parents. Dads, you want your sons to become men who take responsibility for their actions. You want your daughters to have a high standard in the men that they date and eventually marry. You want your women, you want your sons to learn to respect other women and to look for a holy woman to be their wife someday. But that needs to be modeled and lived on a daily basis. You know, we look at the Holy Family and we think, well, that was Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Who can match that? Nobody. Let's face it, nobody. But that doesn't mean that we lower the bar. I think one of the assaults that we see on family life today is fatherhood. Have you watched popular culture, how dads are put in movies, particularly comedies? What's the stereotypical dad? It's not father knows best anymore, is it? It's not leave it to Beaver. Dads are the bumbling idiots, not the wise sage. We've compromised our ideals, and I think we've accepted a new norm that just puts us into a spiral. And you say, well, what do we do about it? If that's the world that we live in, it's not to take a holier-than-thou attitude. It's not to judge people by their family lives or what their families look like. Because we don't control what we've been born into in any way, shape, or form. And every family's going to be a little bit dysfunctional on any given day, right? But let's work towards being functional. Remember the old adage, the family that prays together stays together? Parents, are you praying with your kids? Grandparents, are you praying with your grandchildren? What are we doing to renew family life? Well, prayer has to be the cornerstone of it all. We need to allow God into our families because God is certainly not being welcomed with open arms in our culture, is He? But the household is that sacred place. If we just throw our kids out to the streets and say, take it in, let somebody else do it, parents are neglecting then their role as the primary educators of their sons and their daughters in the ways of faith. That's one of the main reasons that we've taken a posture as a parish in our faith formation of saying, this needs to be family-focused, family-based formation to Mass. Do it as a family. Encounter Christ as a family. Individually, yes. But don't let it stop there. Now I'm going to give you a plug. And this is for anyone who is married, engaged, or even dating. With the idea that someday you might be married, whether it's to the person you're dating right now or not. February 9th, St. John's is hosting a retreat entitled Given, Uncovering the veil of the sacrament of marriage. Mark Hart, who some of you may be familiar with, is a great speaker. He has a radio show on Sirius XM. They call him the Bible Geek. He's great in scripture, has written a number of books. He's going to be the keynote Archbishop Laurie's going to be there. It's not a long time commitment. Child care will be available. It's here in the church. You're done, you know, 9:30 to like 3 o'clock or so. It's a great investment for husbands and wives, engaged couples, boyfriends and girlfriends, to engage with each other. Just take some time apart. That's how marriages are strengthened. That's how future marriages are, the groundwork is laid, is to take time to set aside some time. And I think it's a beautiful thing because it's not just engaged couples. It's not just married couples. It's intergenerational. Some of you might say, well, we've been married 50 years. You better be there. You know why? Because those younger couples look at you and say, that's what we want. That's what we aspire to. Not what our culture tells us today is that marriage is a throwaway commitment. We want holy families. What does holy mean? It doesn't mean it has to be uber spiritual. What's holy water? What makes the water holy? We say a blessing over it, and it's used for a sacred purpose. If you want to be a holy family, receive that blessing and be open to be used for a holy purpose, regardless of what your family looks like. It's God using you as a light to our world, as a hope to our world, that relationships need not be dysfunctional, but can be reflective of that love that exists between the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. But we can't just let things go as they are culturally or in our own families. Our families are worth fighting for. Our families are worth investing in. You know, when people come to the end of their lives, I've asked people, you know, how are you doing and all? And most people will come to peace pretty much free of regret. But you know, the one regret people often will say over and over as they get up there in their years, I'll tell you the one thing they don't say: I wish I'd put more hours in at work. Never heard it. The one regret I hear is, I wish I'd spent more time with my kids, with my family. You know, when we make that resolve to invest, to engage, to be present, not just provide, that's the makings of a holy family. Amen.